good ghost story?
All right, hold on 1 second. Here we are, worldwide live on BBS Radio. Thank you so much, BBS, for broadcasting this show. And I welcome all those folks who listen to BBS over the internet. Thank you so much for participating. And we have the lines open, more people joining in over the conference phone. And I welcome those people. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Yes, Frances calling from Concord, California.
Hello, Frances. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Wonderful.
All right. And more people joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location. That was a lot
wow.
of things. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, Susan
Carolyn,
from Michigan.
Here's Susan. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And I hear Carola from Alberta. Right?
That's right.
All right,
that's
Carola,
great.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And more people join in. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Marilyn, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening, Joel in Chicago.
Hey, Joel. Well, good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right.
I'm going to be muted here.
Julian.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dharmananda calling. How are you doing?
Hey, Dharmananda. Fantastic. How are you?
Good.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
All right. If there are more people who have not announced themselves yet, feel free to do so.
Yeah, I heard a sweetheart out there
Michael
somewhere.
Michael in Camino, California.
Hello, Michael. Good evening to you. How are you?
How are you, guys?
Great. Thank you, man. All right.
Julia, is that you out there? Anybody
yeah,
out there?
Yeah, that was me.
How are you tonight?
Oh, I don't know how to answer that. How are you?
Well, you don't have to answer. You're laughing. That's a good sign. Welcome to the land of paradise.
Is that Julia in Humboldt?
Yes.
Dharmananda.
Hi, Dharmananda. How are you?
Good. Are you better after we had our session last week?
Well, until last night when I thought I was being of service to somebody and it just went completely kerplooey. It was like the negative just possessed the person. It was very bizarre, you guys. I don't know what the hell is going on.
That's called retraining. You built this.
I really want to be of service, but that was bizarre. It was quite a phenomenon.
All right. We had a few more calls come in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Brecksville. Hi,
good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
And more people join in. If you want to, please say your name and location. But only if you...
Hi, Susan in Delaware.
Good evening, Susan. Delaware and Delaware.
That was good. I like that one.
Me too.
He made a pun.
Again. And he's singing on top of everything else. That blows my mind.
I love when he sings songs.
I wish he'd sing me a song once in a while.
I'm just so grateful you all are here or there or both.
We haven't seen nothing yet, babe. Hang on, it's quite a ride.
In the reality for everyone.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Steve in Flagstaff.
Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
Oh, not too shabby.
All right, thank you. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, Tennessee.
Who is this from Tennessee?
Doug.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
But only if you want to.
We welcome you. Thank you all very much for being here. It is 6 o'clock. When are you there?
Hey, I just figured it out, guys. Therese has been your inspiration.
Yeah. somebody else. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Adam, Kingsport, Tennessee.
Adam, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I am muting the phone line with background noise. I apologize for muting you, but I gotta do what I gotta do.
What about we who love to eavesdrop?
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and look.
Nancy in Michigan here.
Good evening, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being
here. Good evening. Good evening. It's Jim from Sedona. How are you, Heis?
Fantastic, Jim. How are you doing, man?
Good, good. It's lovely to hear your voice again. Thank you.
Equally with you, Jim.
The rest of us show up earlier, Jim, and, you know, instead of saying hello, Heis, and all that, why don't you just give a quick recipe? We were talking about gardening a few minutes ago. You would have been just great.
Well, send me your email address, and I'll give you about 200 of my original recipes.
Oh, no. Can I get a franchise on the restaurant chain?
Of course you can.
Well, you got a deal.
Now, other people want to talk, my friend.
Well, they always do.
And I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Nancy Priestley, San Diego.
Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. You don't sound familiar. Is this your first time you're calling, Nancy?
You know what? I did a few years ago.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Please forgive me about forgetting about you.
Well, my goodness.
I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Thank
great.
You.
Who's that that's back?
This is Nancy from San Diego.
Hi, Nancy.
Hello. Thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks for showing up.
And this is Michael from San Diego.
Hey, Michael. Good evening. How are you doing?
Greetings, science. How are you?
Doing well.
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Being here.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris is sounding good tonight.
Yeah, man. I got a little flow going. Yeah.
Must be something wrong.
Yeah. If it gets too much, you know, I'll start affecting electronics and shit. Like,
That's right.
I got grounded.
You'll end up like Terry. Is Terry here?
I believe her to be here. Good evening, Terry.
Hi there.
How are you?
Okay.
All right.
If I've got a good connection, I'll listen for a little bit and see. Otherwise, I'll call back.
Okay.
Okay. You sound okay. And do I see Aaron in the background there? Aaron, are you there?
You're hard for me to hear with your garble.
Pardon me?
Hey, what are you saying?
I guess it's the connection. I can't. People are, like, they sound garbled. Everyone sounds garbled.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah. Okay, I'll call back.
Garbled. Call back. That sounds good.
Terry is breaking up a little bit.
No, here we are. Right now we're muted. I think the sound is good.
Oh, no, I should have muted everybody and seen. Okay.
Oh, so Terry just hung up. But anyway.
So there. Well, you know, when we do this kind of a call, it's like we got to get all our energy guns loaded. You can call them guns, but our energy, because it's usually a lot of energy, and it has to be. To get this, you know, kind of connection, and doing it publicly, it, like some of you know, understand this, but when this energy starts to come in, it can fry circuits, okay? And
Vin, if you take the buttons and start the recorder, and then I guess Terry is back, and then I'm gonna be away from the.
Yeah. Are you going?
I need to continue packing.
You're continually packing?
Yes.
Okay, now you're breaking up a little bit. Terry, are you there?
Yeah. I'm here. Am I breaking up?
Sound good.
Yeah. I was just breaking up.
Yeah, right. I was breaking up for me, too.
All right. Let's get started. And nobody's ready. We will have an adventure here and see where we go. Let me just ask a question before I start. And open up all the lines. Oh my God, they're so noisy out there. How many of you have heard one of the theories previously? How many of you have heard one of the theories previously? Never mind. It's too complicated. Too much noise. But also, some of you have and some of you haven't. Okay? And, let's see. We've got everyone on lecture. And we're starting the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 14th, 2013. And Gwen and Terry in Sedona, California, and all of you, wherever you are. And I announced that we're going to do another session of How the Elohim Created the Universe. And just, you know, if you go on the Spirit Channel, there are the archives, probably maybe five of these calls, and we have gotten the most extraordinary information. Just to give a quick thumbnail, and I'm just going to do this fast. Originally, there was chaos, and then somehow chaos became aware of itself, which is the greatest mystery in the universe. And that awareness got lonely or got tired of just being aware of itself and learned that it could subdivide. And as it subdivided, there would be other awarenesses. And these awarenesses could relate to each other. And they knew they were all part of the same one energy, and they were differentiated. So let's just imagine you have a bunch of awarenesses who now have free will, intent, to create intentions, to create, and they know that they all came from the same one original awareness, which they refer to as the one infinite creator. And keep in mind, when we think of awareness, we also suddenly have the idea of time, because you can't have awareness without time. So time creates a before and an after. And awareness means being in the flow of before and after. And as we know, as we've learned, or as I have said, dimensions, different dimensions are actually different flows of time, time moving at different speeds. Now, it's very hard to grasp this intuitively. You can try, and as I'm trying to make this so that you can wrap your intuitive self around it, because when we think of awareness, and we always relate it to our own experience of awareness, the awareness in another timeline has got to feel different. You've got to imagine, just imagine for a moment, there's no physical universe. There's just energies. And the energies can be aware of each other. How can they be aware of each other when they don't have eyes? Well, some of you who are on our calls, especially our Sunday call, have learned that we can be aware of each other, and we can kill each other on the calls, and we don't have to see each other. And in fact, on all of these calls, there's some degree of awareness that we have. It's not in this dimension, because if it was in this dimension, it would need eyes, it would need nose, it would need, you know, different. We do have ears. So we do have sound, and we have my voice, and we have Terry's voice. And those are about all we have in this dimension. But there's these sensations that take place, and we've asked many questions about it. And the Elohim have said that they have the ability, they even said this, even when I didn't have the experience of it, when I was interviewing them for the Creator God book, which I highly recommend you read, that they said, I said, how do you work with this dimension? And they said something to the effect of, like, we can flow love, light, energy into your dimension. And I asked myself, I wonder what that means. And so when we feel these energies on the calls, we start to feel each other. We start to feel them. And until you have that experience, you're not going to understand what that feeling feels like. So the only thing I can say is to keep coming to the calls and let your own, how can I say it? You have to let go of your mind. You have to let go of your preconceptions. You have to let go of your doubt. You don't have to believe anything. You just have to be neutral. And so we have this group of energies that can feel each other and can relate to each other and can telepathically send thoughts. And, you know, they're saying, well, now I'm speaking for them. Okay, I'm trying to, you know, reinterpret what they've said. They're going to be on, and if I say something that's off, I'm sure they will correct it. But they're saying, well, what do we do with our awareness? What do we do with our existence? Okay, they don't think of themselves as God. They think of themselves as awareness. Just as if you don't think of yourself as God, you think of yourself as awareness just as well. And each of us is in the same, in a sense, the same plot as Elohim about what do we do with our awareness and how do we co-create with each other. And of course, we have one obstacle in this realm that they didn't have. The obstacle in this realm is we are having to figure out how to keep the physical objects we need around us so our bodies can survive, i.e. money, i.e. relationships, i.e., you know, whatever each person needs to survive. And then once you reach that plateau of survival, and some of you are still struggling there, and you get to the point where you have extra time, you say, what do I want to create? How do I want to create it? And some of you are creating service. Some of you are creating ways to interface with other people. Some of you are artists. Some of you are poets. Some of you are creating families. But we are creating and choosing our creations, whether we know it or not. We're creating how we interface. So the Elohim we're creating. And when the universe was created, it wasn't like they said, let there be light, and the firmament shall divide, and this happens. That is kind of a gross simplification, at least as they've explained it. And the way they created was they could create frequencies. They could imagine you have this awareness that can create a frequency. And now don't ask me how they do that, but they can do it, and they can combine frequencies. And they could be very mathematical, and they knew how to combine frequencies so that when the frequencies would have harmonics and nodes which would start to exist inside space-time on an ongoing basis. Because prior to this, there was no persistence. Everything was just in the moment. And if they would think of something, however what that means, it would just show up, they could project to someone else. And now there was the goal of creating persistence. And one way that I looked at this, because I have to take it and bring it into this world and say, there must be a way that reference from that plane to this plane. And so if someone wants to create something that has persistence, something new, what happens is, usually, someone comes up with an idea, and then a group of people hold the energy for that idea, and then it starts to persist. And we wonder, how does something new come into the world? How does a new company come into the world? We usually become privy to things after they're grounded, after they exist, after it's in the collective. Like, the work we are doing here is new for this world. And there wasn't a lot to ground it to make it stick. And what's happening is, what you guys do realize is, each of you who participate in these calls and put your energy in it, to some extent, is allowing this to become more solid. Whereas it was kind of ephemeral and ethereal and transparent, it's becoming more solid and more solid. And in a best case scenario, it will become something in the world that can be a stable datum for other people that would not have existed if not all of us put our energy into it. And I look at that and I say, well, that seems similar to how they created persistence. They had groups putting energy into something, and then it would start to stick, and it would hold, and then there were galaxies, and then there were planets, and then they talked about how they created DNA. And then one of the areas, if they'll talk about it tonight, certain times things they avoid talking about. And what we have discovered, you know, if we jumpstart, there's a missing space in the whole thing, which I try to cover tonight. But there were, we know we spent a few calls on, it was called Rewriting the Old Testament. And that's another thing, if you go into the archives, very, very provocative and fascinating look at things. Because there was this group called the Anunnaki that were partially or fully Elohim souls in this realm that got stuck here. And that what happens is, when the Elohim soul got stuck here in this realm, they had a lot of power in the realm, and so they could use their power to create dominion over other beings here. And that was, you know, biblically, probably would have been what the fallen angels referred to. And the Anunnaki were around a few hundred thousand years ago, and they kept creating life on this planet to be their slaves, to do their gold mining, and that humans, pretty good indication this is true, we went through it in great detail. If I'm provoking you, do not decide it's true or not true until you go back into our archives and listen to the calls rewriting the Old Testament. Because the indications are that those gods of the Old Testament, call it Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, and Baal. Baal was not a positive god, but there were all these names for God. And they were actually beings, either in a physical body or in an astral body, that were Anunnaki, who had created the humans. And there's the whole story of how there was one group of Anunnaki that wanted to evolve the humans to be equal to them, to be connecting to God's source. And the other group wanted to control the humans or eliminate them. And so things like Sodom and Gomorrah was the one group nuking humans, and things like Noah was the other group attempting to save the DNA of humans. And part of the template of what our planet's going through right now, it seems to me, is very, very derivative of this whole conflict between these two Anunnaki sides. I mean, it's complex. There's more to it. There's other aliens in the mix. But many people have read this, and it's created a lot of aha experiences. And then we have Jesus coming in, who was derivative of, it seems, according to our question, the law group, who was trying to transform the Anunnaki experience, which had become somewhat controlling and negative, and even with sacrifices, and even with, slavery. So there's this period of that we've gone through in the past of coming up with amoebas and more life, and then somehow or another, Elohim souls came onto this realm, and I think initially they could go back and forth, but we're going to ask them tonight exactly if they want to tell us, okay? Usually, just when I say if they want to tell us, from their point of view, there are certain things that it's important that we unfold for ourselves. And not to be blind followers. You know, the way this whole relationship has evolved over time between Terry and myself and the Elohim and including Daphne peripherally at this point, the way this has evolved is that it's not like they just lecture us with things. They give us a little bit, and then I do a bunch of research, and then I come back and ask more questions, and they give us a little more. And I have to keep validating what they say, because if it was just me asking them and saying, here's what the Elohim said about this, here's what they said about that, it would be like creating a following doctrine. And they don't want that. You know, the goal here is not so much just to bring information, although information and knowledge can be very enlightening. The goal is to create connection. The goal is that they are real. They exist. They are at, they say they're at the beginning of the creation. And they're at the place where there's no time. And they have the ability to flow through this universe that they originally created, because they know all the back doors, so to speak. It's like in a computer. You know, when somebody, like people say Microsoft, has all these back doors into your computer since they created it. Probably back doors that we don't know about. Well, Elohim has the back doors, the keys to move through everything. And nothing, I don't think anything can block them from showing up except us. But as we release our own blocks, we create the energetic flow to connect with them in our space. And you see, as I say that, some of you notice how the frequency changes, how the energy shifts slightly, and that they are paying attention to our call, and they are paying attention to you. But they don't violate your free will. And if you're nervous or you feel like you want privacy, they will back off. They will not intrude. So you have to be open to the energy. You have to inwardly say, I'm open. And to become open, you have to listen to our calls. So you can decide that you can trust it. Because to let an energy from another dimension connect with your energy. And, you know, if you're just hungry for phenomena and you want to connect with energies, feel something, it's very likely, very possible, you will get something negative. Because there's all kinds of negative things flowing and attempting to connect with us. And in some ways, it's easier to connect with negative than positive, because the positive is so high. So it's important that you scrutinize the connection and make sure that you trust it, you're comfortable with it. You have to trust my intent. You have to trust Terry's intent. You know, one of the ways people screw this up is they get messianic, they get self-aggrandizing, and that automatically compromises the connection. So we have to be very neutral and just allow it to flow, and you can be neutral. Or if you want to have your guard up until you decide it's safe. And keep deciding that. Never let your guard down, because it could shift. It could change. God knows what could happen. But right now, it feels really clear and good. And we're going to go into this session. And I thank you all for being here and supporting the energy of this. And that thank everyone who's volunteering. It allows us to keep a track of it on the internet. So it's there as a... How would I say it? A reference. So, Terry, say something so I know you're there.
Okay. Am I pretty clear?
You're pretty clear. Can you get a little slightly closer to the microphone? Or is that it?
I've got it on the wireless, so it's pretty well set.
Okay, you're clear. I think you're clear. Okay, do you have the other one handy, just in case?
Pardon?
You have the other mic headset handy, just in case.
I do have the other headset handy. I guess I would have to turn this off and then plug that in, right? You want me to
actually,
try it now? And...
There's a little bit of like stuttering in your voice. You're clear. It's like. Am I? You hear me like that? You hear any stuttering in my voice?
Yeah, everything you say is like stuttering.
Okay, then I must be on the line, not on your headset, so we will have to just cope with it, okay?
Well, should I put the other headset on?
I don't think it will make a difference, because if I'm stuttering as well as you, it means one is stuttering, okay?
Oh. Okay.
But,
yeah,
follow what I mean.
Was stuttering. Heist was stuttering.
Yeah. So either the lines are jammed or let's just put a blast of energy through three conference callers so we can get through here, clear the space. Let's ask our sources to help us clear the energy as well as possible. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line, on the internet, on the replays, for the highest good of all concerned. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present to answer questions?
Yes, this is Ra On. And the date is the 14th of October 2013. And this is a topic that we are fond of to do with the creation of life, creation of existence, the creation of manifestation, which we were a player in and are a player in. However, the one infinite being is the main player, as we are all aspects of the one infinite creator.
You know, is there an answer for the question, how did chaos become into awareness?
We do not look at it as starting with chaos. It started with the one infinite creator, smooth, non-vibrational, simply present, totally still, not crisscrossing with vibrations, as your Earth is at this time. Individuals are wired for focus of awareness and for life. When you say one being divided and then divided again and divided again, it was more like there was the section of the nothing of the all that was bounded by, you might say, frequency fence. And within that bounding, the frequencies could build, resonate, hone in, and the conscious awareness within that part of all that is could learn to work with the energies. Does that shed any light on it?
Yes, well, I assume that we have a whole delegation of Elohim on the call with us now, and that there were Elohim and then subsets of Elohim and then subsets of Elohim before there was physical creation. In other words, there was originally a certain group of Elohim, small group, and that I assume that they kept creating themselves till there was proliferation of millions of Elohim, and that some of the higher groups of Elohim, I think, would be called grace, because they are at the core of creation, and that when that group is accessed, all of the universe can shift. Can you elaborate on my postulates there?
All of the universe, pardon?
That grace is at the core, that there are different subsets of Elohim standing outward. From the first, the one infinite creator, to the original Elohim that were first created, and then there were more created, or they created each other. And then, at a certain point, there were millions of Elohim, millions of awarenesses, and even a fanning out of dimensions before there was a physical universe. Is that accurate?
Yes, there was a section wherein life within that section took on a certain characteristic based upon the interests of the beings within that partitioned-off area. And they began to move off on their own track to explore the questions and explore the connections that were there to be utilized to explore where they wanted to go. And there was like a membrane around that area, not a built wall by intention. It was beyond that, as it was a byproduct of the beings placing their attention, for instance, in the area of grace, on how to work with other beings outside the area of grace to bring them homeostasis. For when one is out of harmony, it creates a reaming, a flow of energy, a vortex of emptiness, something that the individual seeks to fill or to understand, to complete.
Thank you. So, is grace, what is the group grace, the closest group of the Elohim to the one infinite creator?
There are, we don't know, but it is an odd way to look at it. Race is more confined than the one infinite creator. Grace is more petitioned, off. Grace has its own functions, one infinite creator is without boundaries and yet non-linearly being able to be all the boundaries of all of the aspects, all of the places within it that are seeking fulfillment, that are growing, learning, and all that is able to be it all once you process the growth of each and every individual that is. The one infinite creator is able to do everything at once and is able to give free will to all participants so that they can experience the growth they in their own particular subset matrix need to fill in holes and blanks and missed knowledge and missed lessons so that they can eventually work through their difficulties, their missing pieces and how to experience life to the fullest, and eventually can provide a more stable subset to contribute to the whole.
Thank you. At the very beginning stages, when there was the one infinite creator just beginning to start off separating into the first Elohim, did they talk to each other? Could they communicate with each other? The Elohim, how does the Elohim identify their experience of the one infinite creator?
The one infinite creator does not have a footprint in the manifest realm, although the one infinite creator is there with all and sees all. The one infinite creator is there for all of its parts and is all of its parts, transforming, growing, learning. The entity, the being that becomes a subset is looking downward and inward and seeing all of the factors in connecting its manifestation of life and tends to overlook or not see the all that is, because the all that is indelible and is still, it is not chaos. It is omnipresent, and it is all-wise, and it is available for the downloading of, we consider that a very funny term because it is so narrow a term, downloading, but the individual is available to absorb the knowledge, the wisdom that it needs if it just relaxes and moves into the stillness of the all.
So, right at this moment, as we're speaking to you, what we're calling the one infinite creator is flowing through you, through us. It is the essence of the first energy, and always is. Yes?
That is correct. It is like the unseen master that is here for everyone and knows that everything is Really? All right. Also, some individuals are learning some tough lessons. And within their own little framework, things are not all right. However, there is all the unseen, all that is dead, is observing and knowing everything, the things that people do not want people to know, all the secrets. All that is knowing them, and is there for each, everything within it to be able to learn on its own and to become more and more grounded and more open to fulfilling itself as it goes through difficult lessons.
Does the one infinite creator ever have an intent or a desire? Or is it the intent of the desire of the individual creations that create the desires of the one infinite creator?
We did not hear you completely, but we answer your question. The one infinite creator, of which we all are, is able to manifest intention. However, then the intention is vocalized, and it may be at different frequencies. So there are different levels playing together. One infinite creator does not have desire. As desire is a step lower, it is manifested. And in order to manifest desire and intention, you need to work with the elements of manifestation. The one infinite creator is unmanifested.
Thank you. So, we're actually going into detail tonight on pre-creation. We have about 7 minutes. We are all in creation, in this realm where things are slow, where they are, how do we say it, stuck. Sometimes you use the word stuck geometries. And
yes,
that
slowness is different than stuck geometry. Slowness is one of the elements of manifestation in whichever layer of the realms you are at. In some realms, things are faster than in other realms. However, in order to compare slowness or to arrive at whether something is fast or not, you have to compare it to something that is slower. So if an individual is experiencing time until they begin to pick up the frequencies of, say, a higher realm, he will not think of their life as being slow, but all of the parts in the third density need to come together. So thought is very fast. However, to bring the body on board and all the molecules on board and the mind on board, it takes time for everything to align. And then to bring the physical universe on board, if somebody is going to make something, then everything from the standpoint of how fast thought is appears very slow to bring it all together.
So until we, in this realm, have an experience of time moving differently, we only know time as we've experienced it for eons.
We keep
repeating into the same timeline because that's where we are.
And that's what is comfortable.
Now, on these calls, there's oftentimes the experience of time going by extremely quickly. And sometimes, for Terry and myself, we finish a call and we say, what happened? Do you remember? And we zoned out. And it seems to me that's an example of learning how to become familiar and to adapt your living in another timeline. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is correct.
And how are timelines connected to DNA and the chakras?
The chakras in the connection in the physical universe where you have the body, it is the integrating of the soul matrix with the body matrix and the keeping of them in sync and together by virtue of their spins being in harmony. So it's when you speak of timelines, everything is synced to the timeline of the third density. If one were to move into the heavenly realm, or the let's say one moves into the fourth density, then they have to resync and get in synchronization their matrix with the surroundings that are available to them in the fourth density. It is a much higher frequency. There is much more light, and their matrix, if one were to look at them from the third density to the fourth, their matrix would tend to shine with gleams of light like jewels.
And in this realm that we're in, we know there's a lot of you could call negative, service to self, oppression, programming, the reality systems that people are connected to. On an individual level, any individual person can transcend all that and move into higher timelines. Is that correct?
That is correct, but one of the things for one to transcend where they are at is for them to realize where they are at. Many people do not realize the streak of negativity that they have within them that has been bred to them, that has been taught to them, that has been programmed into them, and they overlook that when they look at themselves, as they do not wish to have that as a tag on who they are. So they may overlook their shortcomings and see themselves as more perfect. We do not judge, though, as all the things that have come about have come by a trajectory of getting there. They have gotten there by a certain way, and can be unwound by observation as one of the greatest senses of seeing yourself exactly as you are, not how you would like to be or how you are putting forth that you really are, but how are you? And keep in mind that much of that negativity is programmed and is not really you. It's something that you have taken on. And so once you realize it and see it, and realize that there is a certain aspect that may be non-optimum, then you can, once you see it, you can begin to correlate the aspects of yourself and get them all on the same page.
Is one of the obstacles to growth, we're going to have to finish this fairly quickly, it's 6:56, so this will be the last question. Is one of the obstacles to a human evolving shame, because they see the parts of themselves that they wish were different, and they judge those parts, and it becomes a self locked up energy that can't move because they're ashamed of themselves?
That is part of it, that they see themselves, if they looked at themselves, they would see themselves acting in a way that they do not wish to act, and then they bounce back off it. They cannot look at it or don't want to look at it. But if they realize that truly that is not them, but it's something that may have been programmed in, even by, say, the physical universe and the desire to survive and defend. It is something that one can work with and can see that eventually the true beautiful being that they really are.
When, I'll ask one quick question. When the universe was originally started out, and the trajectories of it were started out, I would assume, because everything was given free will, that you couldn't really predict how it would turn out. Is that accurate?
One can predict how it will turn out, and it's not over until it's over. One can predict that until it is. This is a hard concept perhaps to get across, that each person is good, and so, when evil exists and is confronted, it will always present a conflict.